Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
We are in for a really, really good surprise today for you. And if you didn't watch the first episode of Jeremy Farley from Virginia, you need to go back and catch it. I tell you what, Jeremy, I have enjoyed you so much.
Well, that means a lot, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what caught me is that it's known that you attract your age group, and right. So now our age group is our age group, and
I don't know what he's talking about, actually.
The most important part about this age group is that final lap. Do you ever run track when you was in high school?
I tried not to.
Tried not to.
Yeah.
I ran a quarter mile, and that last 20 yards.
Yeah.
Is just difficult. And I'm finding out that it works the same in real life, and the things that you spoke to us about, even though you're pretty young compared to us.
In college, they called me Old Man Farley. So
Old Man Farley.
Old Man Farley.
So you're ahead of your time.
I guess so.
You're ahead of your time. Yes. So it's preparing for the end of this thing. And I'm going to tell you, I'm pretty excited for the people to hear the message that you're about to give us. Man, I just get after it, okay?
I appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Okay.
You know, Jeremy, I was thinking about how you went to some very fundamental churches right. when you were younger.
Right.
And I mean young. You went to a Christian school that was very fundamental.
And you might even say legalistic.
Well, what they do is they got the Word of God in
you. They did,
you.
Right.
And then when you put all of that aside, and this is not just for Jeremy, this is for all of us, when you got all of that legalism out in a way of what to do, you just loved.
Yeah, and that's, I think sometimes, and going back to my life story, basically, I always think about how Paul said, you know, all things work together for good for them that love God.
Right.
And so God's writing our stories, those of us that have committed our ways to Him. And so He's taken care of us, even in the dark days and the difficult times. Mm-hmm. But as far as, you know, looking at Christianity in general, we were talking about this earlier. It's so simple in a lot of ways. I think we've overcomplicated Christianity,
yes.
where we've laid out, here's 15,000 things you've got to do just right. And the moment you fall, then we're done with you. And at the end of the day, church growth, at the end of the day, reaching people, it just starts with being good to folks and loving people like Jesus did.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We were at our pharmacy before in Atoka, Oklahoma, before we came down here this morning. And there's a kid that, and I don't call him, he's not a kid anymore, but he grew up in Atoka. And he was laying on the bench.
If they're under 50, they're kids
to us. Yeah, they're kids. he was laying on the bench on his arm, big guy. And I really like that pillow in the back. You know, I'll probably have to use it tonight driving home.
Right.
And I'm not saying this for me, but I just wanted to give him something and tell him that somebody cares.
Right.
He didn't even wake up when I gave it to him.
Right.
He doesn't know who gave him that pillow.
Right.
But God does, and He helps us to be kind. And if we are kind, we get kindly back.
Right. And that's, you know, the world calls it karma, but Jesus said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Mm-hmm. And so there is a clear principle.
See how easy all that comes out of his mouth?
Well, there's a clear principle. And I mean, everybody, this audience will know it as good as anybody, that not only are you going to reap what you sow, but you're going to reap bountiful more.
Yeah.
Where if you plant one kernel of corn, you're going to get God knows how many things of corn back. So
that's right.
It's make sure that we don't waste time.
That's exactly
Turns
right.
Turns a kernel to a cob.
Right.
Right,
absolutely. I like that.
Lots of them. Well, let's go into Cowboy Church. Jeremy's going to speak, and I'm going to sing a song for you, and I hope you enjoy it.
Just as I am without one complete brother that thou blood was shed for God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. This I know, and for the Bible tells me so. The little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Oh, yes. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond that river. Just as I
All right, I'm going to be reading today from 2 Timothy chapter number 4. The Apostle Paul is penning what will be his last chapter. Paul was a significant writer in the New Testament, and this is his last chapter. He knows that he is going to be leaving this world in just a short little while, and this is his final words. He looks back on his life, and he does some reflecting, and he says this in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 6. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." When I think about Paul's last words, how he looks back on his life and he is surmising how he is pleased with his life, I can't help but think to myself, I really hope that when my life is over and I'm lying in a deathbed somewhere, or I am somewhere where I recognize this is it, I would love to have the opportunity to have the same thought with my life. I'm ready. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. But if I'm going to live a life that is ready, and the reality is this right here, as much as we try our best to avoid the thought, death is coming. The Bible tells us it is appointed to men once to die. And as much as we try our very best to remove this from our mind, the truth is all of us have to live as if we are to be ready for death, because one day we have to be ready. So how can we live a life to where whenever that moment comes, we're ready? Here's the first thing. When I look at Paul's life, I see number one, a ready life is a life that has seen fighting. I know a lot of times we think that Christians are to be passive. I know a lot of times that we think Christianity is the religion of the weak and that it is something that to be genteel. But the truth is, if we're going to live a life that we're pleased with, we've got to recognize a ready life is a life that has seen fighting. Paul says it, "I am ready to be offered." And then he goes on in verse number 7, he says, "I have fought a good fight." The reality is we have to be people who fight. Now, when I was younger, I would fight at the drop of a hat. I was somebody that found myself looking for a fight. But as I've gotten older, I have realized what I value more than anything is peace. But let's talk about what does it mean whenever Christians have been called to fight? First of all, we see we have been called to be soldiers. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 3, Paul says, "As a good soldier, therefore, my son, be strong." We have been called to be soldiers. The Christian life is a battle. In Exodus chapter 15, the Bible says the Lord is a man of war. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that we are to fight the good fight. And so a ready life is a life that has seen fighting. It is a life that has been constantly on the go of fighting. My question is this right here. Are you someone who is ready to fight when the cause is right? We're living in a society where it seems like too many people are ready to roll over and go with the crowd when God is calling us to be soldiers of the cross. God is calling us to be people who are ready to fight. Now, when I say that, there are many that will hear these words and they will think that God is calling us to be obnoxious. There's nothing worse in all the world than an obnoxious Christian. Somebody who has their head lifted high and says, "We don't do that." And someone who is head up high and acting as though they are superior to everybody around them. God hasn't called us to fight that kind of fight. Instead, what I have learned, and I learned this even the more the older I get, when I have been called to fight, truthfully, I have been called to fight my greatest enemy. And who is my greatest enemy? My greatest enemy is the very person you're looking at today. I am my greatest enemy. When I think of who I have been called to fight, the Bible says that Paul, the writer of this, he says, "I have to buffet myself. I have to beat myself up daily."
Every day, Paul says, I have to bring my body into subjection. Jesus said these words. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We're living in a culture that's the word self-control or the thought of self-control is so far removed from our vernacular. And it is evident with us. It is evident with how we eat. It is evident with how we spend money. It is evident with how we withhold no pleasure from ourselves. We are a society that has lost control of ourselves. We've lost control of our money. We've lost control of our diet. We've lost control of our lives. We've lost control, and we call it addictions. But Paul says here very clearly, he has said it over and over in the New Testament, we have got to bring ourselves into subjection. How can I live a life that when I look back on it, I can say I'm satisfied? I've done the very best I could. I'm pleased with who I am and with the man that I am. It begins, number one, with being a fighter. And the one that I am fighting is the very person that is me. The very man that sees me in the mirror is the very person I find myself fighting the most. The child of God is in a very dangerous place when they are good at pointing their finger and fighting everybody around them, when the greatest enemy is that person that is inside of you. It's like the Native American story of the man who gave his heart to the Lord. And he says, I feel like there's this constant war that is raging inside of me. It is like two dogs are fighting amongst themselves. One dog being the very good version of me and one dog being the very bad version of me. And someone said, well, which dog wins? And he says, the one that I feed the most. That's the dog that usually wins. And as Christians, I think there's a great truth there. We better be careful that we don't feed the wrong version of us. But instead, we set our affections on the things of God. We set our hearts upon the things of Him. Be constantly meditating and memorizing and praying to the God of heaven, memorizing His word, because we have been called to fight. A ready life is a life that has seen fighting. There will come times, and there is a season that a man has to fight for his family. And the Bible says that a man who does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. Dads, fathers, husbands, fight for your family. You will not be pleased with your life if you do not fight for your family. But beyond that, listen to these words here. We have got to recognize the one we're going to have to fight the hardest oftentimes is the very one that's living inside of us. Paul says, I have to bring my body into subjection. Jesus said it this. He said that if you're going to follow after me, you have got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Our greatest enemy is ourselves. I think about this right here, how many times I have done things that I regret. How many times in life I have not had self-control. How many times over the course of my existence I have done something and I look back on it and I'm ashamed at it. I remember one time my grandmother, she moved all the way to the eastern coast of North Carolina, about 6 hours away from the mountains where we live at. And I love my grandmother dearly, but I hate where she moved to. And it seemed like every time I would go to visit her, I would get lost. And one day we're going on this trip to my grandmother's house. And my children, they're tiny little people in the back of the car, just in car seats, 2 years old probably. And we're driving there, and the GPS somehow reroutes me, and I'm not aware of it. We've been driving for hours and hours and hours, and I think we're just about there. Only to realize the GPS had redirected me and somehow sent me in the wrong direction. So here I am, I've been driving for about 5 hours only to realize I'm about 3 hours away at this point. And I remember I had a meltdown in the car. I had my cell phone there and I picked it up and I was And I, in a fit of rage, opened up the door and just threw my phone out into a field. And immediately my wife sitting beside me looks over at me and she says, well, that's really going to help matters a lot. And we kind of just stared at each other, and I had sweat dripping down my head, and I was crazy. No self-control whatsoever. And then, like a fool, I had to get up and walk through this cotton field in the middle of nowhere looking for my phone. And my wife just sat in the car like this. And so I finally find it. I go back to the car, and we drive to my grandmother's house with not another word spoken. That was something that happened and forgotten about. I tried my best to forget about that. A few years ago, my daughter she's grown older now, and we're sitting there driving down the road, and she just starts laughing. And I said, "What are you laughing at?" And she said, "Do you remember that time when you got so mad we pulled the car over and you threw your phone out in the middle of a field?" And I said, I remember that, but how do you remember that? And she said, "Well, that's something, that's probably my earliest memory in life, is you doing that right there." And as a father, as a husband, as a pastor, I kind of got that, that's the reality of life. We all do things that we're ashamed of. We all struggle sometimes and aren't always what we ought to be. And we can gang up on me and say what a terrible person I am. But the truth is, every person who is listening to this, every person who is watching this has done the same thing. We've all lost control in a moment and said something. We've all lost control in a situation and done something. And yet, as we look here at Paul, he says, "I fought a good fight. I resisted those that would push against my family. I resisted those that pushed against our faith. But beyond that, I resisted my greatest enemy, who was me. A child of God who has not fought themselves. A child of God who is not fighting themselves is a child of God who is not ready to see heaven. Because if we're ready to meet God, we have been someone who has spent our life fighting our greatest enemy being ourselves."
Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for being with us. I'm really excited. I was with you on this fight deal. You know the reason I like the fighting deal.
Why is this?
I don't want to get to the finish. I like the fighting part. Yeah. That finish scares me, so I'm going to keep fighting.
No. Yeah. You're sick in the head, man.
I know it.
I want the Gatorade and going to Brahms after.
You got a good point there. But we're not done with this.
No, and that's...
Before we close it, I just want to let everybody know the second half of this message is coming up. If you're in the middle of a fight, keep tuned for next week. And you're gonna learn where fighting, what kind of fighting is good.
But I think when it comes to fighting, just remember, you know, the one we're fighting the most is ourselves. And I know that's the case for me, is that it's easy for me to point my finger at everybody else I need to fight. But I've got three more pointing back at the one guy I really need to be fighting.
Well, I'm pointing at the devil, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's...
But I have
the devil made me do it.
I have to have help with him because I'm not strong enough.
No, sir.
Hold that book up. And please go to Amazon and order this book, because it's something that you will need to read. You will enjoy it. You can understand how a great speaker and probably a wonderful writer that Jeremy is. We'll see you next time on Cowboy Church. If you would like to write to us, our address is on the screen right out of Brush, Colorado. And we want to again thank Jim Odell. He has been such a great inspiration to all of us.
Well, that's the truth.
Without him and our editor and all of our camera crew, we would not be on here today. And without you, we would not be here. So you know all the things that I say at the end. God bless you. You have a great day.